The scripture reading for this morning is Acts 22. We're going to read Acts 22, verses 1 through 22. In this chapter, Paul is standing on the steps in the temple. He had just been captured by the temple police, really. They had taken him because the people, the Jews, were trying to kill him. They had accused Paul of taking certain Gentiles into the temple, into a certain part of the temple they were not allowed to be in. And so an uproar had started. This multitude was out of control, really, so the chief captain came and took Paul out of the midst of that multitude and started to lead him up the steps, take him really to prison. Now, Paul, in chapter 22, he asked that captain of the guard if he could speak to the people. Once he got up on those steps, he said, "Can I speak to the people?" And the captain allowed him to do so. So now we're going to read that speech that he gives to the people. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 26, which deals with baptism. And Acts 22, verse 16, is going to speak about Paul's baptism. So that's especially the verse we'll be looking at this morning. But Acts 22, let's read verses 1 through 22. "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there, bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that, as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Thus far we read the word of God. This morning may God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. On the basis of that passage and many others, we have the truth that's contained in Lord's Day 26. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice on the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Now, we are actually going to keep reading. I should have made that clear before I started, but I'm going to deal with question and answer 72 and 73 also in this sermon, and then save question and answer 74 for later. Question and answer 74 deals with infant baptism, so we're going to look at that especially, but 72 and 73 really can go with the content of Lord's Day 26. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing of sins? God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Water is a very valuable thing. It's a creation of God, and it's a very valuable thing. Water is partly valuable because water washes. Men everywhere need their bodies washed. Kids, you understand that if you could not wash your hands, germs would spread faster. If you could not wash your bodies, germs would spread faster. And what would happen if germs spread faster? Well, we would die faster, die very quickly. If there was no water that we could wash with. Water is really a symbol of washing. Now, the ultimate reason that God created water was not so that we might wash our bodies. That's important. But the ultimate reason that God created water was so that he might use it to point us to Christ's work on the cross. Again, the ultimate reason God created water was so that he might use it to point us to Christ's work on the cross. He made it so that priests could use that water in the Old Testament to foreshadow the work of that Christ would do on the cross. He created water so that it might be used in baptism in the New Testament as a sign and seal of Christ washing away our sins with his blood. God created water so that it might be a sign and seal used in baptism to serve to the building up of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's wisdom. That's why he created water, to point us to the cleansing work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Lord's Day 26 helps us better understand the sacrament of washing, baptism. We began to look at the sacraments in Lord's Day 25. Lord's Day 25 really asked this question, asked, where does faith come from? And the answer was that the Holy Spirit works faith by the preaching. And that's why it's so important to be here this morning. Also, Lord's Day 25 said that the Holy Spirit confirms our faith or strengthens our faith by the sacraments. So we already began to look at sacraments in Lord's Day 25, but now in Lord's Day 26, we have a further explanation of the sacraments, and in particular, a further explanation of the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of washing. Baptism is spoken of in this Lord's Day as a sign and seal of the washing away of our sins in Jesus Christ. Now, our sins have two aspects to them. There is the legal aspect. We speak of the guilt of sin. That's our legal standing before God. Our sins make us guilty before Him as we are of ourselves. But in addition to the guilt of sin, we also speak of the pollution of sin. And the pollution refers to the sin that exists in us. Sin was passed down to us from Adam, that sinful nature that makes us dirty. We are corrupt and dirty on the inside as those who have sinful natures. Now, the washing of water in baptism is a sign and seal of the truth that both aspects of our sins are washed away by Christ. Baptism is the washing of water in baptism is a picture and seal of the truth that our guilt is washed away by the blood of Christ. The washing of water in baptism is a sign and seal of the truth that our pollution, our dirtiness on the inside, is washed away by the Spirit of Christ and His work in our hearts. This is what we are dealing with this morning, is the sacrament of washing. So let's consider this text under the theme, the sacrament of washing. And first, let's see that we are indeed washed from guilt. Second, washed from pollution. And third, believing this. First, washed from guilt. Baptism is a sign and seal that we are washed from our guilt by the blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a sign of that truth. It's a sign that our guilt is washed away by the blood of Christ. And proof that baptism is a sign of that is found in question and answer 69 and question and answer 70. First, I will reread question and answer 69 and listen as we read that to hear that baptism indeed is a sign or picture. We read there, "How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all pollution of my soul, that is from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away." So question and answer 69 shows that the washing of water in baptism is a sign of being washed in the blood of Christ. Now, question and answer 70 then explains what it means to be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. It says in answer 70, "It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross." That phrase, remission of sins, refers to forgiveness. It refers to the removal of guilt. So baptism, then, is a sign of being washed in the blood of Christ from all of our guilt. And Acts 22, the passage we read, Acts 22, verse 16, also teaches that baptism is a sign of being washed from the guilt of sin. Acts 22, verse 16, we read there, Ananias said to Paul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now we'll look at that verse more as we go on, but that verse certainly shows that baptism and the washing of baptism is a sign or picture of the washing away of the guilt of sin. Now let's understand that further. What exactly do we mean that baptism is a sign of being washed from our guilt? Understand what a sign is. A sign is a visible thing that points to an invisible reality. We're familiar with signs. As we looked at 2 weeks ago, we talked about that McDonald's billboard on the side of the highway. It says McDonald's is 15 miles ahead. Well, that sign is a visible thing that points to the invisible reality that a McDonald's is actually 15 miles ahead. Baptism is a sign. Water is poured on the one being baptized. It's poured on that child. And we know that water, it washes something. You drip water on the body to get the dirt off. It's really what water is a symbol of. Now that water of baptism, that pictures the blood of Christ. It points to Christ's blood washing those sins off of our legal records so that the guilt is gone. Gone completely. Not guilty before God, but our record is clean. Now that baptism is a sign, and it is, according to Scripture and the Catechism. That baptism is a sign. That means that the water itself does not actually wash away our sins. Baptism is a sign. It's a picture of Christ's blood washing away our sins, but the water doesn't actually wash away sins. Lord's Day 27, question and answer 72, speaks of that truth. We read there, "Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself?" And the answer is not at all. "For the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin." Now that's important to point out because some believe that that water of baptism actually does wash away our sins. The Roman Catholic Church taught and they teach that our sins are actually washed away by the sacrament. So the spiritual salvation from sin is actually brought about by the water. And that's why they, and some others too, will rush their child to get baptized within the first 2 weeks that they're born. They have to get them there as soon as possible so their sins will be washed away. Now, that's not the teaching of Scripture. That's not the teaching of the Catechism either. The water of baptism does not wash away sin. Only Christ's blood does that. 1 John 1, verse 7 is proof of that. We read there, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Not the water of baptism. 1 John 1, verse 7 says it's the blood of Christ. That water is a picture of Christ's blood. And so, understand that we could be saved without the sacrament. We do not have to receive the sacrament of baptism to be saved. May that be clear. So, 1 John 1 verse 7 proves that the water of baptism itself does not actually wash away our guilt. But also, it cannot be true that that water of baptism actually washes away our guilt, because then we would be deciding our salvation and when we are saved. And of course, that's not true. Men do not determine when salvation occurs. It's God that determines and decides when salvation happens. Now look again at Acts 22, verse 16. We read there again, "Why tarriest thou, Paul? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Now, at first glance, someone might point to that verse and they say, well, that seems to indicate that the water of baptism actually does wash away our sins. It says, be baptized and wash away your sins. But understand, based on the rest of Scripture, what we just read in 1 John 1, verse 7, we know that that water doesn't actually wash it away, that sacrament doesn't do that. Acts 22, verse 16 is instead... It's using sacramental language to show us the very close link that there is between the washing of baptism and the washing away of our sins. Part of why it's showing us that close link is to show us simply the truth that the washing of water is a picture of the washing away of our guilt in the blood of Christ. Baptism is a sign. And as a sign, understand that baptism teaches us. Baptism teaches us. It teaches us every time that we see it happen here in this church. And it teaches us in a certain way when we think about our own baptisms. Baptism teaches, according to question and answer 69 of the Catechism, we read there, "How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee?" That word admonished there, it really means teach. Teach. And baptism indeed does teach us. When God's child sees another child baptized and thinks upon his own baptism, he is taught that he needs his guilt washed away. That's what he's taught by that washing of water. He's shown, I need my guilt washed away by the blood of Christ. That's what I need. Baptism must have taught Paul that. Taught Paul that just as the body got dirty, he was dirty legally before God. He had guilt. Now, that must have been part of the reason why Ananias commanded him in verse 16, saying, "Why tarriest thou, Paul? Go be baptized." Paul needed to see more and more that he was a sinner in need of the cross. Verses 3 through 5, there in that speech Paul gives on those steps, he indicates very clearly that he knew he was a sinner. He did. Paul, he saw that he'd been a Pharisee who had hated Jesus Christ, and on top of that, he had actually been one who persecuted the church. You think about that. And baptism reminded Paul, yes, I need a washing from my guilt. I need Christ's blood. And baptism teaches us the same thing. Baptism teaches us that just as our bodies get dirty, we also have legal records of ourselves that are dirty, and they need to be, or we need our guilt washed away. Kids, you just ask yourself from this past week, did I obey my parents perfectly? Every time they told me to do something, did I obey them? We can all ask ourselves, did all of my thoughts seek the glory of God? Or was I seeking myself sometimes? You ask, did every word I say seek the good of someone else in the glory of God? Is that true? And as you think about that, you see, no, I am a guilty sinner of myself. I've sinned in Adam too. It's not just that I commit sins in time, but I'm guilty of the sin in Adam also. He was my representative head. That water in baptism that we will see, Lord willing, in a few weeks, That sacrament, that water in baptism, teaches that we need that guilt washed away. And furthermore, it also teaches us this. It teaches us that that guilt is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it teaches us. That's what we're going to see, and that's what we see when we think upon our baptisms. The sins of God's people are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul had to be taught that. Because as we see in this speech he gave, he knew his sin. He even said to God in verses 19, I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when Stephen, when he was stoned, I was standing right there, really showing my approval of it. I am a horrible sinner. God was teaching him in baptism. Teaching him in baptism that the sins of his people, of his children, all of them, all of that guilt, all washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what God was declaring to Paul through the sign. Sins of my people are washed. They're gone through Christ's blood. That's what we are taught too in baptism. Remember that. We're being taught that sins of God's people, sins of you and me, are washed in the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's baptism. Baptism is, first of all, a sign of being washed in the blood so that the guilt is gone. But baptism is more than a sign. It's also a seal of being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ so that the guilt of our sins is gone. Question and answer 69 points to that truth, that baptism is a seal. And it points to that by using the word assured. It says, "How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee?" That verb assured points to the truth that baptism is a seal, because a seal is something that guarantees to us that we really are washed in the blood. Baptism is a seal of being washed in Christ's blood, and a seal is a mark guaranteeing that something is genuine or true. For instance, a king, as we saw a couple weeks ago, a king, he would use a seal to show that he had really written a certain letter. A king would write a letter, he'd put his name on the bottom of that letter, but then he would take his signet ring and put that seal on the bottom of the letter to show this is not just a letter from anyone, it's a letter from the king. I wrote it. It's authorized by me. I stand behind it. Another example of a seal is what you see on your paper money. There is a, on our money, the government issued money, there's a seal on there from the government that shows this is government issued money. It's genuine. It's not counterfeit. It's not just produced by anyone on the street. It's government backed. Baptism is a seal guaranteeing that our sins are washed in the blood of Christ. You see, he says to us through the preaching, and he says to us through the sign, he says, "The sins of my people are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ." And God's people, they hear that and they know it's true for them. They say, "Yes, my sins are washed in the blood." And then baptism also serves as a seal. It's God really putting his mark there, saying, not just anyone says your sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. No, I say it. The God of truth says it. I back this up. It's genuine. It's true. That seal, though, understand, is only a guarantee. It's only a seal for God's people. Baptism is not a seal that guarantees that the sins of unbelievers are washed in the blood of Jesus. Of course not. This is a seal only for elect believers. And this seal builds us up in our faith. Faith is knowledge and confidence that Christ is our Savior. Baptism is a seal that builds us up and strengthens us in that faith by the power of the Spirit. Baptism, it works to assure us, the Catechism says. We are assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross is of real advantage to us. It builds us up in that confidence, making us absolutely positive that we are indeed washed in the blood. As really as that water is dripped on that baby, Christ's blood is dripped and washed on me and washes away all of my guilt. A seal, guarantee. That serves to build us up in our faith, our assurance, our confidence that we are not guilty before God, but righteous before Him. Now, as we think about that, we might wonder, that almost sounds too good to really know that for sure. You might think that, but baptism really is as a seal, to be a guarantee to the believer that our sins are really washed away in Christ's blood. The Scriptures back that up. Question and answer 71 quotes Scripture passages that show that baptism is a seal that assures us our sins are washed away. Our guilt is gone. And Acts 22, verse 16 is one of those passages that's quoted in question and answer 71 showing that baptism is a seal. Remember, Acts 22, verse 16 says, "Be baptized and wash away thy sins." Now, that verse shows that baptism and the washing of water is a sign. It's a picture of the washing away of sin. But it's really, baptism is really called the washing away of sin there to underscore the truth that baptism was and is a guarantee of the washing away of my guilt. It's certain. That's why they're so closely connected. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in that verse, to show it's real. He announces to us in the preaching that our guilt is gone, and he puts his mark upon that truth in baptism. It's true. Your guilt, your worst sins that make you guilty of yourself, all that guilt's gone. As you think about that, you begin to see how wonderful it is that God assures us through baptism that the guilt of sin is washed away. You think once about how wonderful that was for Paul to be baptized and to be able to think about that, the fact that he was baptized. Think about how wonderful it was for him to be assured that his sins were washed away. Paul, he knew he was a sinner. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. He spoke here of that persecution that he did. And you can imagine that the devil would often come to Paul and say to Paul, Paul, you're the worst kind of sinner. You have no hope. Do you remember what you did? Paul could say to the devil, he could turn right to the devil and say, devil, I was baptized. I am baptized. I know that I am saved in the blood of Jesus Christ. I know that Christ's blood washed away my sins. I know it. Just as really as that water washes my physical body, the blood of Christ has washed away all my guilt. And you think about how we can know the same thing. We do know the same thing. Think of how important it is for us to know and to be assured that our guilt is washed away. We see our sins too. We come into God's house this morning, we hear the law read, and over again you think, I failed. Throughout the week sometimes that the devil comes to us and he says, do you remember what you did? And look at what you've just done this morning. There's no hope for you. There's no way that you can be right before God. And then you say, No, devil, I am baptized. I am baptized. I know. I am assured that my sins are washed away. My guilt is washed away in the blood of Christ, just as really as that water stripped upon me in baptism, the blood of Christ is washing all away. I'm clean before God. And that's really why we want to be baptized. The water does not actually wash away the guilt, but we want to be baptized so that we might experience that assurance. Baptism is a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit uses it to assure us that guilt is washed away. And you see there too then the great love that our Father has for us. He makes us to know through that sacrament that He loves us. That He loves us. That He loves us so much that He sent His Son to spill His blood for us, for you and for me. The fathers here, they love their children, and they tell their children that. They don't go through life never telling their children they love them and so that their children doubt. They don't do that. They say, I love you, son or daughter. That's what God does for us too. What love? That's what He does for us in through baptism. He says, my child, I love you. Know that truth. That's our God. That's our merciful, gracious God. 1st baptism is a sign and seal of our guilt being washed away. But baptism is also a sign and seal of our pollution being washed away. That is our dirt on the inside being washed. Baptism is a sign of our being cleansed from our pollution by the Spirit. The Heidelberg Catechism teaches that baptism is a sign of our pollution, our dirtiness on the inside being cleaned out. Question and answer 69 says, I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, as I am washed externally with water by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question and answer 70 says, what is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? Well, the first part of that answer explains what we've already talked about. Baptism is a sign and seal of being washed from all of our guilt in the blood of Christ. But then the second half of answer 70 explains that baptism is also a sign of being cleansed out on the inside. Not just the legalness, not just the legal record being taken care of, but also being cleansed inside. We read there in answer 70, we are renewed. It's a picture of our being renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. So baptism pictures the Spirit's work, really cleansing us from all that sin that exists within us. And baptism pictures the Spirit's first work in cleansing us out on the inside. And that first work is regeneration. Regeneration. Naturally, we are totally polluted. We need our guilt washed away, but we also need to be washed out on the inside because we're dirty there. We need to be washed on the inside so that we might be more and more holy. God says in His Word that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So no man that continues to live like the devil lives with God. No man that continues to live like the devil is going to be in heaven someday living with the holy God. We need to be washed. Washed on the inside from all of that dirty pollution. Now, the Spirit's first work in washing us out is regeneration, what we've already mentioned. The Catechism indicates that the Spirit's first work of cleansing us is regeneration when it speaks of being renewed by the Holy Ghost. We're made new. We who were dead are given new life. Regeneration is the Spirit's work in implanting that new life in us. We are naturally dead in sin, so that all we do is sin, and that's why we're so dirty. But the Holy Spirit, in regenerating us, what He does is gives us new life so that we are able to put off sin and live more and more to the glory of God. That's His first work of cleansing us out. He's giving us that new life so that we can put off that sin and serve God. Titus 3 verse 5 speaks of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, that verse, Titus 3 verse 5, shows us that baptism is a picture of regeneration. If you remember what was just said, Titus 3 verse 5 speaks of the washing of regeneration. Again, that sacramental language that's closely linking the washing of baptism with the Holy Spirit's work of regeneration. Regeneration is signified by baptism. That washing of water that we see in baptism, that's a picture of the Spirit's first work of cleansing us out, that implanting of new life in us. So baptism pictures regeneration, but baptism also pictures sanctification. And sanctification is the Spirit's continued work of cleaning us out on the inside. Sanctification is a big word, but it's understandable. It simply means to clean us out on the inside. And we need to keep being washed. We receive regeneration, but we need to keep being washed because that sinful nature remains in us until death. So we need to continue to be cleansed and made more and more holy. The Holy Spirit does that work of continuing to wash God's people clean. He does it. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does it. And in the process of washing away that pollution from inside us, the Holy Spirit actually makes us active so that we actively put off sin and serve God. He works in us to actively say more and more no to sin, yes to God. That external water that we see in baptism, that washes, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit's work in washing us out. As that external water washes the dirt away, the Holy Spirit washes us within. And that's part of what Acts 22, verse 16 means. Again, Acts 22, verse 16 says, "Be baptized and wash away thy sins." So baptism is a picture of the washing away of the guilt of sin, but now we see washing is a picture of the washing of baptism is a picture of the washing away of the pollution that exists within us. So baptism is a sign of that, a sign of being cleansed out. But baptism is also a seal of being washed by the Spirit. Baptism is a seal of regeneration, the Spirit's first work in cleansing us. Titus 3, verse 5, you remember it said the washing of regeneration. That verse is showing us that baptism in the water there is a picture of the Spirit's regenerating work. But that verse is especially doing this. It's underscoring the truth that baptism is a guarantee to the believer that he is regenerated. A guarantee. That's why the Spirit so closely links regeneration and walking or in washing in that text. He assures me that just as really as that water washes me, it washes my earthly body, the Spirit regenerates me and has done the first work of cleansing in me. Baptism is a guarantee of regeneration. It's a seal of that. I know it's true. I know I'm regenerated. The Spirit is cleaning me out. Baptism is also a seal of sanctification. Again, be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 22, verse 16. The point of that, again, is to underscore the truth that our sins, our guilt, our pollution inside is surely being washed away by the work of the Spirit. It's true. It's really happening. Guarantee. And you think again about how wonderful that is. That baptism really serves as a seal to us that our pollution is being washed away. The believer sees his sin. Sometimes the seeing our sins can bring us very far down because we see that we commit the same sin so often. We repent of it, and then that sin creeps right back in the next week. We repent, we fall back into that sin again the next week. And you start to wonder, am I really being cleansed? Is that really true? You think Paul may have wondered that at times. We certainly wonder that at times. But in baptism, when we see it happen and when we think about our own baptism, we are assured. We are assured that we truly are being cleansed. You can think of those sins that your flesh especially likes that you fall into again and again, whether it be gossip, whether it be watching the wrong things on television or worldly music, the worship of yourself. There's so many things. You think of the sin that your flesh especially likes and that you wonder sometimes if you are being cleansed from it. Understand, baptism is a seal to God's people that the Spirit is sanctifying us, that the Spirit is cleaning us out on the inside. Oh, it may be slow. We may fall back sometimes, but God is saying to us in baptism, you are my child. I am sanctifying you. I am cleaning you out. I am preparing you to go to glory, to live with the holy God forever and ever. Trust that's true. Be assured of it. Just as really as that water washes away the pollution of the body on the outside, your soul is being cleaned out. People of God, baptism is a sign and seal of our guilt being washed away. Baptism is a sign and seal of our pollution being washed away. Now, the calling is, this morning, to believe it. Believe it right now. Believe that your guilt is washed in the blood. Believe that you are being sanctified, cleaned out. Believe, first of all, that your guilt is being washed away. That can be hard. It can be, as we've just seen. We know our sins. But when we have a baptism in our church, Lord willing, in another month or so, and when you think about your own baptism, you trust, I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am. Just as really as that water washes the pollution of the body, my guilt is washed away in Christ. Trust in Him. Trust also that your inside is being cleaned out too by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Oh yes, we do struggle with sin, but trust you are being cleaned by the Holy Spirit. And believing that's true, knowing that's true, live for Him. Live for Him. The Catechism says that. Question and answer 70, it says, you knowing this, lead holy and unblameable lives. You think about the guarantee that we see in baptism. My guilt is gone. I'm right before God and I will live with Him forever on the basis of Christ's work. You think about what we see in baptism, a guarantee to us that we are being cleaned out on the inside and prepared for glory with God to live with Him forever. You think about God's great love to us there and respond by living for Him. You see, that's what Paul did. Paul was not baptized and then responded to that baptism by saying, oh, I'm going to continue to persecute Christians. Oh, I'm going to continue to speak against the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say that. Paul was baptized and then he went forward and was a great apostle unto the Gentiles. Verse 21. He went forward and spread the gospel. He lived his life for the Lord. That was his response to what he knew was true for him. What he saw by the Holy Spirit's power through baptism. Let's respond the same way to what we are assured of through baptism. Let's respond the same way Paul did. Do not say, oh, I'm just going to continue in sin. Do not turn around and walk in those same sins of that your flesh especially likes. No. Knowing that we are right before God, knowing that we are being washed in the blood, let's live for Him. Let's put those sins away. And let's spread the word like Paul did. Willing to speak of the good news of Jesus Christ to others, not ever being ashamed of that. We know our salvation by means of baptism, by means of the Spirit's work through baptism. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, O Lord, we stand in awe of Thy love to us. What an amazing thing that Thou dost make us know and be assured of our salvation through the sacrament of baptism. Make us know and be assured that we are washed from our guilt and washed and being washed from our pollution. Lord, what a great wonder Thy love is to us. We cannot truly fathom it. Praise be to Thy name forever. In Jesus' name, amen.